Previously on Buick City 1 AM.
This is serious, for Pete's sake. Josh had a gun.
I want to cut his dick off. You wouldn't. No, what I should do is shoot him with one of his goddamn guns.
Yeah, I think Bud's stealing from the store.
While Michigan Republicans celebrated President Reagan's victory over Walter Mondale last night, a Flint auto worker was shot and killed in the parking lot of Buick City.
I did try to end it with Joy.
Well, what got in the way? Your prick?
I called her and she was already crying when she answered the phone.
So she really is psychic.
She wasn't crying about me. She's having a hard time with her boy right now.
What about your wife and family? You know, I spend more time with Skip than you do.
There ain't nothing wrong with Skip. Joy's kid has a serious mental problem, and it's taking a toll on her.
She's got her own husband to take care of her.
You had one heart-to-heart with Gordon, and now you care about that white-collar bastard?
Don't worry. I'm just as hateful and bitter as always.
You mind holding that letter?
Sure.
I will break up with her, but I gotta do it when the time is right.
What makes you think she can't take a little heartbreak?
She's trying to help her boy, and he keeps getting worse. Making her see that her fantasy world of crystals and rainbows is bullshit.
Well, what'd she do for him? Hold a seance?
She took him to her psychic.
What'd the psychic say? He'd get better as soon as they forked over some more money?
He attacked the psychic, tried to strangle her. Joy had to pry him off her.
Darn it, Joy. I'm not attacking you. I'm just...
I told you I'm not sleeping with Wayne.
Then why the heck do you keep on defending him?
Because you threatened to kill him.
Okay. I admit, what I said was rash. I didn't mean to make an actionable statement. I just want to get a straight answer from you.
I don't like these accusations. I feel like you're putting me on notice.
Oh, heck. Just give me the bottom line. You love him?
It's not that. The problem isn't that life has no meaning. The problem is that it has no meaning, but it feels like it does.
So then you agree with me?
No, not at all.
But you just said...
It's not about what's rational. Life is precious.
Yeah, but... I mean, you can say, like, anything's precious, but that don't mean nothing.
Hey, I said I'm not making a logical argument. I'm saying I care about you. Your life matters to me.
Hold on. Yeah, man, I think we got it. Check in the used bin. Okay, I'm back. What were you saying?
I was just telling you how much you matter to me.
Wait a sec. Why are you saying all this?
No reason. You were just...
Do I kill myself in the future? Is that why you won't tell me anything about what happens to me?
Should I tell him? If I'm more direct, I could make a better case for why he should live. But telling him will plant the idea in his head. It would make it that much easier for him to commit suicide knowing that he did do it. Of course, once I save Wayne, that cuts off the path to that future.
No, of course not. Look, I don't want to tell you about your future because I don't want to deprive you of experiencing the surprises of your life.
Then will you at least tell me about the future of the world?
I've told you way too much already.
But it doesn't make any sense. You said there aren't flying cars or jetpacks, and we don't have colonies on Mars, but everyone carries around tiny computers in their pockets.
Yeah, they're phones, but they're also computers.
My school just got a computer, and I had to use it last week, and I hated it. Why would I want one in my pocket?
Life is unbearable.
Thank you.
Do you even love me anymore?
You shouldn't be here. Gordon could see us.
He's probably in his office.
Or he's cruising around the parking lot busting people for drinking on their lunch break.
You haven't called or anything. I needed to see you.
We can't keep doing this. It's not right. God damn it, Joy. What'd you do that for?
I'm not going to let you abandon me.
You think this is easy for me?
I'm telling Josh you're his father.
Why would you do that?
He's got a right to know.
Gordon's his father. He's raised him, and he thinks Josh is his boy. I mean, what are you trying to accomplish? I'm sorry. I didn't want to hurt you.
We are meant to be together. We're soulmates.
Yeah, well...
In our past life, we broke up and we are destined to keep trying every lifetime until we work it out. But why wait until our next life?
Come on, Joy. There ain't no reincarnation. You gotta grow up and stop believing these fairy tales.
You bastard, I am sure Tammy would be very interested to know all about this.
Come on, she's your sister. Don't drag her into this just to hurt me.
You're doing this to hurt me.
I'm trying to do the right thing.
You know, Gordon could fire you.
I'm sure my committee man would find that real interesting.
Gordon said he'd kill you.
Oh, yeah?
Maybe I'll tell him all about us and see what happens.
Uh-huh. Keep talking. I'm beginning to feel better about ending it with you.
Did you know Gordon has a gun? He bought it from your goddamn store.
Tell him he can come and buy all the guns he wants.
Maybe I'll take his gun and use it myself.
I ain't saying Skip stole the money. I'm just saying sometimes he can't tell his butt from third base.
You can't accept responsibility for nothing.
We all make mistakes. It could have been me. It could have been you.
Me? I've hardly even been here.
Exactly.
Don't try to blame this on me. The cash register has been short. You need to make it whole.
You just want to refill your coffers with my coins because your shop's losing money faster than a drunk gambler.
The shop's losing money because you're taking it.
That's bullshit. You ain't got no right to make accusations like that.
Want
to
call your committee man?
What are you? The foreman? I thought that we were friends.
Hey, I took a punch in the jaw for you. And you ain't even thanked me or said you was sorry.
Here you go again. Somehow it's my fault you fought some shit kicker.
He was trying to collect the money you owe him. And frankly, I'm starting to feel for him.
Well, why don't you ask him out on a date? Now that you broke up with Joy, I guess you're available.
That's enough. You gonna pay me or what?
Fuck you. I ain't paying shit.
I'm telling you, Bud's the one that's gonna kill him.
I know, but...
I was right. He was stealing from the store, and he hasn't come back since he got in that fight with Dad.
I'll follow him, but for now, I want to wait and see if this is the guy that attacked Dad.
But he's not after Dad. He wants Bud because Bud owes him money.
But he attacked Dad. I need you to identify him if he comes out.
We've been waiting in this diner for like an hour.
I gotta know if it's the right guy. We're only 2 weeks away from the murder.
Yeah, but if you don't save Dad, can't you just time travel again and save him?
No, I already told you. Time travel's complicated and dangerous. It's like if you left something on Mars, you wouldn't be able to just turn around and get it, right?
So how can you make sure you save him?
Well, apparently, the killer shoots Wayne from inside his car, so I'll just confront whoever's in Wayne's car.
What are you gonna do?
Well, if I have to, I'll shoot.
But what if you get busted?
Right after 1 a.m., I'll return to 2018. No one will ever know I was there.
It sounds kind of risky. Are you sure this is a good idea?
Should I ask Skip to help me? I feel like I could use some backup. But he's only 16. It wouldn't be right. I can handle it. Don't worry. I'll be fine.
Hey, that's him. That's the guy.
Oh my God. This Orange Julius is so good.
Gee, it's like you've never been to the mall before.
I love the Genesee Valley Mall. We really don't have that many malls in New York City.
Hey, there's another reason why you shouldn't move back there.
I know, but I just wanted to cover the election here, so after Tuesday...
I'm so worried about the election.
Are you not sure about Mondale and Ferraro winning anymore?
Not since I read your last article.
I'm so grateful I lost all that resentment I had for her. She made a lot of mistakes as a mother and really hurt me, but the problem is that before our identities even form, our parents seem to be these perfect beings who keep us alive and give us everything we need. And once we're old enough to see their flaws, the contrast with our original perception is so great that we amplify their flaws. But now I see her as a real person, full of shortcomings, but perfect in her own way.
Let's go this way. I need to stop by Penny's.
Sure. So, how do you like your class?
I love it. It's just like our book club, except we have to write papers.
Is that weird?
Well, back in high school, I hated homework, but now it actually feels empowering.
Yeah. See, everything we learn can be used for fighting the patriarchy.
Uh-huh.
So then, are you pursuing literature instead of nursing?
No, I need to be practical.
Why? Are you still planning on leaving your husband?
Ever since I caught him with my sister, I've been noticing things and remembering all this stuff that didn't add up before.
So you're pretty sure that he is?
I know he is.
I'm sorry to hear that. If only I could tell her that he broke up with Joy. Not that it would fix everything right away, but maybe she'd give him another chance? It's enough just trying to save his life. How can I save their marriage, too?
Check out those shoes.
You want to try them on?
Nah, I'm just looking.
So, well, what are you getting at JCPenney's?
I want to see if they have any cabbage patch dolls.
Oh, you're buying one for your daughter?
Well, I want to see if they even have them. All the stores were out last Christmas, and I saw on the news there were riots.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to support something like that.
I'm sure it would make your daughter really happy.
She's getting kind of old for dolls.
Oh, Cabbage Patch Kids are so cute.
Yeah, but they're expensive.
But didn't you get Skip a new guitar for Christmas?
How did you know about that?
You must have told me.
There is no way I could have told you. Wayne just came home with that guitar the other day, and I haven't told anyone about it.
I must have been mistaken.
Did Wayne tell you?
No.
We got in a huge fight about him spending so much money.
Uh-huh.
Have you been seeing Wayne?
Not since I interviewed him at the store.
Then how did you know about the guitar? God damn it! Stay away from my husband!
We're able to call Minnesota, Roger. We're going to project the state of Minnesota. Here it is. 62% of the vote in Minnesota. There it is. We can't project it. We're just going to show you what the final numbers are in Minnesota. Two-thirds. It looks like it's going to be very close all night long. We don't know whether Walter Mondale can win his own home state. We can now, I am told that we can, in fact, project Walter Mondale, the winner of the state of Minnesota. That is his home state. That is the single state that he will win tonight. It has 10 electoral votes. It is his home and his headquarters. It is the taproot of his whole political philosophy. Okay, Roger, we're going to go now to Queens, the borough of Queens, New York, where tonight We're in Manhattan, I'm told. We've just changed boroughs from Queens to Manhattan. Geraldine Ferraro, Democratic vice presidential candidate, the first woman to run for that office on a major party ticket.
Campaign ends. The race is over. This is not a moment for partisan statements. It is a moment to celebrate our democracy and to think of our country. The American people have put their trust in President Reagan. And in the interest of the nation, with hope for the future, I ask all Americans to join together, work together, and pledge our support for our president in the search for a more just society, a strong America, and a world at peace. Tonight, I would also like to thank my running mate and my friend, Walter Mondale. For more than two decades, he has forsaken personal gain to promote the public good. He has fought for people who need our help. He has stood up for every decent cause in the last 25 years. And even though he did not win this race for the presidency, in 1984 he waged another battle, a battle for equal opportunity, and that battle Walter Mondale won. Two centuries, candidates have run for president. Not one from a major party ever asked a woman to be his running mate until Walter Mondale. When he asked me to be campaign by his side, he opened a door which will never be closed again. That is a victory.
Am I shaking because of the cold, or is it my nerves? I'm sure I'll warm up sitting in this car, but I don't think I'll shake this fear until I'm back in 2018. Wait, is that Gordon walking by? God, I can't tell. What will happen when I return to 2018 and Dad was never murdered? Will Mom forgive him for cheating on her, or if not, will she at least have gone on a better path and become a nurse? At least I'm sure Skip will still be alive. How will my life be different? Growing up in the shadow of their deaths darkened every day of my life. When I return, will my memories be overtaken by new memories from a new timeline? Will I be a new person? Is this my death? At least as I know myself?
I'm so sorry.
Why?
It was an accident. I didn't know that it was you. I thought someone was coming to kill you. I thought I was going to save you. Dad, hold on. Please, the ambulance will be here soon. Don't die.
You've been listening to Buick City 1 AM, a podcast opera written, composed, and produced by me, Jason Cady. It featured Annie Sage Whitehurst as Elena, Joshua R. Pine as Wayne, Hallie DeVestern as Tammy, Nathaniel Kent as Skip, Anya Krawcheck as Joy, Alan Enlow as Gordon, and Scott Watson as Bud. The singers were Katie Eastburn, Elise Kakasic, and Eric McKeever. The musicians were Emily Manzo, Sean Lovato, Aaron Siegel, and me. Ann Hepperman recorded and directed the actors, and Martin Johnson did the sound design. Jeff Cook recorded and mixed the music. Buick City 1 AM is a production of Experiments in Opera, an opera company in New York City that produces adventurous new opera. For more information, check out experimentsinopera.com.